How do we know that we're not allowed to be ma'arvin simcha b'simcha? Mar said, we learn it from the pasuk that tells us that the celebration for the completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash took place for 7 days prior to Sukkot, which itself was in another 7 day celebration of Sukkot. Now, if one made joy, if you're allowed to have ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, Shlomo should have waited until Sukkot and made one combined period of celebration. We see that one joy may not be combined with another joy in ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Maybe not delay a celebration, but if it happens to come out simultaneously, maybe you are allowed to combine one simcha with another. Mar says, if so, Shlomo would have left over a small piece of the building to coordinate its completion with the start of the Yom Tov. Maybe he wasn't allowed to leave over a piece of the Beis HaMikdash because that would have prevented the karbanis from being brought. However, it may be that ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, Mar says, if that was true, then Shlomo could have just left over an insignificant piece, like with the spikes that were placed on the roof to scare away the birds. That would have allowed the Beis HaMikdash to be operational before its full completion, but would have allowed the completion to coincide with Sukkot. In fact, maybe even something as seemingly insignificant as that would have been is considered essential for Beis HaMikdash, and therefore couldn't have been delayed. There's no proof from here that one may not be ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Remember, we said we learned this concept from the fact that the pasuk says shivas yomim v'shivas yomim, even though it later says arba also yomim. These extra words come to teach that each celebration was on its own because they're not allowed to have it combined. You had the 7 days of simcha for the Beis HaMikdash and then 7 days of Sukkot. They were not allowed to be combined. Rabbi Parnachan and Rabbi Yechanan said the year of the celebration for the completion of Beis HaMikdash, the Yidden didn't fast on Yom Kippur because it fell out during the 7 days of celebration. The Yidden were concerned that maybe they're going to be punished for having done so. Abaskal came out and said, you're all prepared for Olam Haba. The Yidden reasoned that they shouldn't fast on Yom Kippur based on the Kal V'Chomer if at the time of the completion of the Mishkan, whose Kedusha would not last forever. And yet they brought Karbanis Yochid from the Nesiim, and it was brought even on Shabbos, which is an Issur Skila, then surely at the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, whose Kedusha lasts forever. And we're dealing with Karbanis Sibir that were being brought, and we're dealing with only Yom Kippur, which is only a Kurus penalty. Certainly it should be overridden as well. If they had the Kal V'Chomer, why were they concerned that they would be punished? The Mara says, because by the Mishkan, we were dealing with the overriding of Shabbos by bringing Karbanis, which are brought for Hashem, Oilois, Chatois. Here, we're dealing with their own eating and drinking, and therefore, maybe it should have been treated differently. So, in fact, we're here too, why didn't they just bring the Karbanis and not eat and drink on Yom Kippur? The Mara says, because true Simcha, ain't Simcha Elo B'Basar V'Yayin. In fact, Gemara, where do we see with Achil and Shtiyah? In fact, Gemara, where do we see that Karbanis at the completion of the Mishkan overrode Shabbos? Gemara says, because two psukim regarding this Karbanis state a double use of the word Yoyim, B'yom Ashtei Aser Yoyim, B'neim Shteim Aser Yoyim, which teach that the Karbanis of each and Nesim were brought on consecutive days, which necessarily therefore include a Shabbos. Where do we see that Yom Kippur was overridden at the time of the completion of the Beis HaMikdash? Mar says, we learn that from Gzeir Shavah from the completion of the Mishkan. Where do we see that Hashem forgave them for not keeping Yom Kippur? So, Tachlifa taught a Braisa that darshens the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that the Yidden went home after the Sukkot. Says, Vayelchu le'aleihem, meaning they went home, they found their wives to be tar, Smeichem, meaning for having been with the Shechina, V'toive leiv, because each person's wife then became pregnant with a baby boy, Al kol ha'toiva, means that Abakal came out and told them that they were all destined for the Mabo, Asher also Hashem le David Avdoi le Yisrael Amoi. What's meant by the good that they did for the David Avdoi? So Yehuda name Rav says this refers to when the doors of the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't open up when Shlomo wanted to bring in the Aron, and they only opened up when Shlomo said that it should open up in the Zchus of David. This was done because Hashem wanted to show all the people that said that David was a Baal Avera to show that he was totally forgiven with his Avera with Bathsheba. Zok Gemara Rabbi Yonis ben Amsai and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim were learning the parasha of Nedarim, the Masechta Nedarim, by Rabbi Shimon Yechoi. The night they were done, they took leave of him, asking permission to leave. They ended up staying in town overnight, so they took leave again from him the next morning. He asked them, well, you already took leave, so why are you doing so again? They said, because you once taught us that if after taking leave, someone stays around till the next morning, you have to come back to his Rebbe again and take leave again. You taught us based on the fact that after taking leave of Shlomo at the end of Sukkot, the people came back the next morning to take leave again. Shimon Yechoi then told his son, these people are people of stature. Go get a bracha from them. He went and found them dealing with seeming contradiction among psukim. One pasuk seems to say that when faced with two mitzvahs, one should do the greater one first, whereas another pasuk says you should do whichever one came your way first. The Gemara says the answer is the first pasuk is dealing with the situation when there's another person available to do the other mitzvah. The second pasuk is talking about when there's no one else available. They then use the same answer to deal with another contradiction between different psukim, where one seems to say that the Torah learning takes precedence over doing mitzvahs, another says that it doesn't. They answer the same thing. They then saw him and they asked him, why are you here? He said, I was instructed to come to you to get a bracha. So they told him, it should be Hashem's will that you plant but don't cut, that you take in, don't bring out, that you bring out and don't take in, that your house should be destroyed and your inn should be occupied, that your table always be disturbed and that you not see the new year. When he went back to his father, he told him of the bracha. He said, it looks like a curse. His father said, no, it's truly a bracha. That you plant and don't cut means you should have children who don't chas v'shalom die. That you bring in and you take in, you don't bring out means that you should bring in daughters-in-law and they should not be sent away because of the death of your sons. That you bring out and not take in means you will have daughters who will marry and not become widows. That your house should be destroyed and you're in is occupied, I should say occupied means that your eternal house, meaning your grave, should be destroyed because you shouldn't die, and you're in, your earthly house should be occupied. That your table should always be disturbed means that you should have a lot of children, and that you not see the new year means that your wife should not die, which will cause you have to remarry. You should not have another shiner reshiner with a new wife. Shem Mechalafta told his son to get a bracha from Rav. Rav gave him the bracha, it should be Hashem's will that you do not embarrass others and that others not embarrass you. He returned to his father and said he was given advice rather than a bracha. His father said, no, Rav gave you the bracha that Hashem gave the Yidden, and actually repeated, like the pasuk says, and another pasuk you see, it's a very important bracha. Mishnah says, the following are the adornments of women. Eye makeup, parting their hair, applying blush to her face, and others add the shaving of the hair of her private areas. Rav Chisa's wife put on makeup in front of her daughter-in-law, Chalamoyd. Rav Huna Bachanina said to Rav Chisa, this was allowed for young women, not for someone like your wife. Rav Chisa says, not true. It's allowed even for your mother, even for your grandmother, even a woman who's so old that she's at the edge of her grave. Rabbi Yehuda says a woman may not apply lime on chalamoid because it's disgusting for her. However, he agrees that if the lime can be peeled off on chalamoid, that it may be applied on chalamoid because when it's taken off, she'll be happy with having applied it. We find that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't give weight to the fact that a painful thing will then become a happy thing later on, which is why he says that we may take full payment from a guy on his holiday for a loan, even though later on he'll be happy that he paid it up. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, regarding chalamoid, all agree that if it makes a person happy later, it's permitted now as well. Like so even cooking, it's not happy while you're doing it, it's happy later. Ravina said, a different tirat, he said, a guy is never happy for having paid because he always tries to avoid paying altogether. Yehuda said, Jewish girls who grow body hair before the typical age are embarrassed of the hair and therefore remove it. Poor girls use lime, rich girls use fine flour, princesses use mar oil. Ravuna said this is perfumed oil. Rav said this oil comes from olives which have yet to grow a third of their potential size. The Bryce says, Rabbi Huda says, on picnon is oil from olives which have not yet grown to a third of the potential size. It's used to remove hair and to make the skin glow. Rabbi would apply lime to his daughter limb by limb. Doing so made her so beautiful that he was paid a large sum to marry her off. A guy so others tried to do the same to his daughter, but he applied all the lime to her entire body at once. She died as a result of that. Rav Nachman said Rabbi's daughter needed that because she drank a lot of beer which darkens and increases hair. Other girls who don't drink beer, they drink wine instead, they do not need to do that.